let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done on earth.
And welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid on the Streams of Many Waters Podcast Network. It's good to be with you. My name is Brian David Thompson, and I'm here in studio with C.K. Thompson.
Hello.
Hello. And thanks for listening, first of all. Appreciate it. Just go ahead and subscribe, tell a friend, share, and we really appreciate the support. And also go to the website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Go ahead and hit that up. And if you have a question, you can go ahead and write to us at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. So anyway, this week, it was a little more somber because, as you guys know, the French were attacked.
Yes.
Act of terrorism on Friday the 13th, no less. And they were hit by, well, it was actually several coordinated attacks and definite terrorism. And I know that, CK, you wanted to talk something about that. How do you want to start?
Yeah, I would like to talk. First of all, I want to say, as a prophet, to you, no fear. No fear is our battle cry in the spirit and in the natural. The most important thing that we can do at this point, it is refuse to bow down to fear or terror in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and they're counting on fear. I mean, that's
how
terrorism works. That's why it's called that.
Exactly. That's absolutely the truth. I shared Sunday, and I do want to thank you all for listening, everyone who's listening today. I just want you to know that I appreciate you. I love you. I'm praying for you. And I can just feel the whole overall response. I can feel it in the atmosphere, what's been going on. I've actually been feeling, you heard me, Ryan, around here, like I've come out. This has been going on for weeks here at home, as well as in the studio. This sense of something in the atmosphere that was coming, and I could feel it, and it kept getting stronger to the point that in the last couple of weeks, there felt like a darkness going on.
Yeah, you had mentioned on, I know there was more than one occasion, you talked about a hanging dread in the atmosphere. You kind of described it as that to me, and you know, we didn't know what was coming up, but it was a weird dark cloud of dread.
Exactly. And here's the thing. I did know. I just didn't want to say it.
You knew.
Huh? I did. I didn't know where it was going to happen. I didn't want to go around being like a voice of fear. Mm-hmm. And I think I you know, I'm still learning how these things work. The Lord is showing me, because the more he takes me up, and he has called me to come up and take my position, he told me to see what you're called to see, and say what you're called to say, and apparently feel what you're called to feel, and pray what you're called to pray. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? But I have been feeling it for, just getting stronger and stronger over the last month, to the point that I could not leave the house there for a few weeks. It was making me ill. It was affecting my physical body. I could feel fear. I could feel the threat of terror, and I... At first, you know, I thought, man, am I depressed or something? Because I know what depression feels like. I've struggled with that at times in my life. But this was different, and I recognized it. And I had this awful feeling in my gut that it was a terrorist attack coming. But I didn't want to spread fear.
Right.
So I felt like until I had any kind of word from the Lord whether to say anything, all I could do was just pray.
Yeah, and you didn't say, I mean, you didn't even say anything to me about it, not about a terrorist attack or anything, just about dread, you know, and threat and so on. So
I could feel the threat, And I don't want to, well, just to tell you the truth, keep praying, people, because even after that last Friday, from at the time that this is being recorded, I still feel like it's they're still planning more. I mean, obviously they are. They always are. Yeah. But the thing to we need to be praying about is, Lord, we cast it down. We take authority over that spirit of fear. We take authority over that spirit of terror. We refuse to allow it to continue to terrorize and torment the people of any country. And I think this is a whole lot of what Israel goes through all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that sense is like, you know, for generations. I mean, they had Hitler. They've had, I mean, their history is.
Yeah. It's just constant like, targets.
Absolutely. Yeah. Terrorism all the time. And so pray for the peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Paris. Pray for, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not on earth as it is in hell, because that's what that spirit's trying to do. Fear reigns in hell. They're trying to bring on earth as it is in hell.
Ah, that's a good point.
And we gotta take authority over that stuff and take a stand in the spirit. This is not a war that can be fought in the natural. As much as people try, you have to fight this one. You cannot fight it in the devil's arena. He wants to pull believers away, followers of Jesus Christ. He's trying to pull us out of the spiritual realm and dealing with it there. He's trying to pull us into his arena and fight it there. And get everybody all up in a snit about, you know, whatever their issue is and politics and all of that and all of the pray about this and pray about that. And, well, duh. I mean, duh. We, you know, that's like,
yeah.
Yes, pray. But but not from a standpoint or posture of fear. You pray with authority. If you understand the kind of authority that you have been given through the name of Jesus on this planet, you are not going to be praying in fear.
Yeah,
you might feel
point.
Some really holy anger going on.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus felt that anger. He expressed that anger without sinning.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as if someone tried to break into your house and shoot your kids. I mean, it's going to bring up some righteous anger on your part, and you're not going to let them do it.
Right. It's interesting praying with authority is different than fear. That's something else.
Though. Right. You don't have to beg God to do what he already wants to do.
Right. And on an interesting note, too, is that with that attack, has France already hit them back, bombed some targets? And so I was surprised that they did that quick. I don't know why I was surprised, but I just kind of thought they would sit back and deliberate about it or try and, go to the UN, to discuss it or all kinds of things like that. But they kind of hit back fast or
they
quicker
did.
Than I expected them to. I should
they did.
Say that.
And you know what? I want to say that last Sunday we had the glory of God hit, and I was just during the ministry time, well, actually the whole service, but during the ministry time when we were doing, we were ministering to people and giving words from the Lord, and one man, brother Rick, but he hit the floor. The Lord had me lay hands on him. I was so drunk, Mike was like having to hold me up in the spirit. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, I was, we call it being drunk in the spirit.
Yeah.
That happens to me when it gets so heavy that I can hardly contain it, and I'm releasing it on people. And I knew he was going to hit the floor, but he hit the floor, and he bounced back up, and he gave a word. And he said, France is going to wake up, and they're going to go to town on in Syria and whatever this is going on in the Mideast. They are going to fight back. They are actually going to fight back. And it's going to change how they have been responding, and through all of this terrorist stuff. And he's absolutely right. I mean, by
well, that was right on because they did hit back, you know, multiple airstrikes, or I mean, I should say multiple targets, and I don't remember all the details right at this point. But yeah, they did go after it. They didn't take that laying down, so
no,
to speak.
They did not. And people need to remember that France was our first and still our oldest ally of the United States. And I'm not doing a political program here, but I just thought that was interesting.
But factually, that's correct. And they gave us the Statue of Liberty, for instance.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And they helped us in the American Revolution. So, you know, there'd been a lot of anti-France and, you know, like having freedom fries instead of French fries because France wouldn't back us up, you know.
And, right. But, so stand with France. Everybody turn your freedom fries back into French fries.
That's right.
Turn your freedom kissing back into French kissing, everyone.
You
and your freedom toast back to French toast. Okay, I kid. Keep going.
Yeah, well, there's the power of agreement. And it works. I mean, on not only just in prayer, but when, it works in among nations, among countries. Friends stand together. So, yes, I'll have French toast with French fries. And, oh, Lord, help me, because I refuse to get fat. I can't. I'm losing weight. That's my prophetic proclamation. I'm losing weight. Okay. And back to the subject.
Got that in there. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Tell me about that. We were talking about today, President Roosevelt, and the quote that was so often heard.
Oh, FDR. Yeah, about fear.
Yes.
Yeah, where I checked into it. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So here's what it was. It's a famous line, you know, given by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, president. This was actually in 1933 when he gave the speech, you know, where we hear, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And actually, that speech was given on March 4th, 1933. It was in a State of the Union address. And what's interesting about it is he had a speechwriter by the name of Raymond Mulley from Columbia. He was a Columbia University professor who wrote that speech for him. And what that actual sentence was, what was written down in its entirety was this. This is what it was supposed to read. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes the needed effort to bring about prosperity once again.
Wow.
Now, it didn't actually go as that because what happened is FDR actually changed the last part of that so that instead of reading to bring about prosperity once again, it said, he changed it to say, needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. And those were the actual words that he used. We delivered the speech several days later at the inauguration on March 4th, 1933.
So read the story. Wow. Thank you for that. Would you read that, the original speechwriter's version again?
Right. So this, as written, it is, so first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes the needed effort to bring about prosperity once again.
Wow. That's powerful. And I imagine, you know, obviously, Roosevelt had his reasons for changing the ending of that.
Yeah, this was in 33.
Is in the during the Great Depression.
Right, Great Depression era.
He might have been afraid to use the word prosperity at that time.
Yeah, he changed. He took prosperity out. And
wow.
He put in, you know, convert retreat into advance. He changed it into that. And it's probably, you know, it was political correctness, I assume, you know, for that time.
For that time.
Yeah, he felt like he needed to do that.
What's really interesting to me is how much terrorism and it's, man, that was how many years ago? I mean, 33. It's still the same dynamic in the world. Terrorism is sent to shut down prosperity. That's what happened. We were talking about this earlier too. I've got to say, we've been in the ministry almost 40 years, And we have seen, you know, things go up and down financially, and we've seen how the body of Christ reacts and responds to those things in the financial realm. I remember in the 70s, the recession, and where we had to, we were rationing gas, and in the state of Oregon, you could only buy gas on the day, like the odd and even days of the week, depending on what your license plate was. And there were lines at the gas station, and they were running out of gas. And if you went on a trip, you actually had to put a can of gas in the trunk so you didn't run out on the trip.
It was actual rationing. You could only buy on certain days.
Absolutely.
A lot of people don't realize how bad that actually was.
It really was.
We haven't seen that since.
No.
You know, and not quite like that.
We've seen, and we saw the price of gas just like double, triple, quadruple right before our eyes. It was just within months. And it was scary for a lot of people. People were losing jobs. I mean, that's when things, you know, like the timber mills were being shut down, and major changes going from the industrial age into the, what would you call it? The
information age, the information, is basically what they say.
Yeah,
we're
and the changing, digital, yeah, all of those things. And it just, it was scary times for a lot of people. But the body of Christ, it was also at the time that there was revival happening in the earth, and the charismatic movement was happening and so forth. And I don't remember being afraid. I remember feeling safe that the Lord would protect us and take care of us. And he did. And most of the people that I knew, I did not see churches being shut down for lack of finances or anything, because people still continued to do the righteous thing, the godly thing with their finances. They continued going to church. They continued tithing. They didn't stop giving. They didn't shut their bowels of compassion. They continued. They believed the word of God, because the glory was in the earth, and people were just, I mean, it was like it was counteracting. Is that how you say what was going on?
Right.
Around them, they still trusted God and their covenant. Yeah.
So that wasn't fear, because, I mean, it's fear that makes you stop doing that, right?
Exactly.
You know, in order to quit, like, you, for instance, quit giving, you feel like you don't have enough, and it's fear. It's about fear.
Absolutely.
So, unfortunately, it seems like a lot more fear now than then, which I think might be your point.
That's the point. This is that the thing that the Lord had been, and you've heard me refer to, like, in some of the prior podcasts, how the Lord's initiated a series of dreams and visions and encounters about finances starting in the year 2000 with me. And I actually found the original here. That's, the date was January 25, 2000. And I wrote it down. You can see the chicken scratching, actually mostly of it, in Mike's handwriting. And then I was filling in stuff. But and the Lord said to me then that he was preparing to pour out an anointing for supernatural finances, a supernatural anointing for finances into the earth, into the body of Christ. And he said, the Spirit-filled body of Christ, in order for them to do what they're called to do, and also in order to keep my word and my covenant promises to this generation. And and then it was just like bombarded with, like, night after night sometimes. I'd go for weeks just dreaming from heaven.
And in the year 2000, this was?
It started in 2000. And then he, in the midst of that, he said, and I wrote that one down and I brought it out. Where is it? Beware the spirit of poverty. And I'm like, first of all, he started sharing all these things with me, and I was reluctant to share it with the people at first, because actually I was waiting for him to tell me. I was letting him just develop it in me before I could even speak it to the people. That and then the Lord just started talking to me about beware the spirit of poverty, and that kind of like stopped me in my tracks for a minute, because like, wait a minute, that seems kind of mean, you know, to the unlearned or whatever. We're supposed to love the poor, you know, give to the poor and all that. And he stopped me in that, and he said, poverty is a spirit. It has nothing to do with how much money a person has. Right. In fact, there's a scripture, and he showed it to me, thank God, one of those things where he would tell me what the word says in the midst of one of those dream things, so that a dream thing, so that I would
confirmation, and you would know.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that I would know it's in the word, mm-hmm. and it's in Proverbs 10:15, and I'm reading this in the Amplified. It says, "The rich man's wealth is his strong city; the poverty of the poor is their ruin." Notice that the poverty of the poor. It didn't say it being poor was their ruin.
Right.
It's the spirit of poverty.
Right.
That behind it. And he said, poverty has nothing to do with the amount of money that you have or do not have. Poverty is an actual spirit that influences people's attitudes towards life. It affects everything, not just their money. He said that poverty is a harsh taskmaster. And it's actually a very powerful form of fear. And so fear had been building up since then. Back in the 70s, when there was that recession, there wasn't that kind of terror and fear in the atmosphere really? That there was later on. This time around, there's been so much fear building up. You were going to say something about like Y2K and everything. People were afraid.
Well, yeah, that you said that the Lord started giving me the dreams about that in, I think it was May of 2000.
January.
Oh, it was January. Uh-huh. Well, I was just going to say that, yeah, that was there was a lot of fear about that. It was supposed to be the end of civilization.
That's right. And,
you know, all of the computers, everything was supposed to go down.
Airplanes falling out of the sky.
Right. We were supposed to go to the Stone Age. At Y2K, but that didn't happen. But
no,
that was
it didn't.
Fear-based.
It was fear-based, and lots of fear-based stuff going on. And, he was talking to me about how poverty is an actual spirit. It influences people's attitudes towards life in general, not just money. It often works hand-in-hand with religious spirits, and poverty is actually fear. It's fear of not having enough. It's fear that, therefore, because, like the person who believes they don't have enough, then it is neither generous nor spirit-led in its giving, if it gives at all.
Right.
And it causes people to be poor. It causes the very thing that they fear. So he was saying to me, don't receive poverty. Don't receive poverty, and don't let it rewrite the Bible for you. Don't read the Word of God with poverty glasses on or with religious glasses on. Jesus talked about money a lot, and it was always his will for his people to prosper. In every situation, as long as they were obeying God, they prospered. And that, I mean, he put all the wealth in this planet for his children. So he said, receive the revelation of the Holy Spirit and let him inscribe his will upon your heart. It will change your attitude about riches, wealth, prosperity, and abundance, and everything. He had gotten to the point where you couldn't say the word prosperity without people going into fits, you know? I mean, people just get squirrely, especially in church or something.
Right.
They'd seen so much scandal. Mm-hmm. Misuse of God's money, etc. Mm-hmm. That if you use it, they even call it like, don't preach that prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
There is no prosperity well, I guess there are some people that have taken it to such an extreme that they use it to manipulate people, which also, I mean, gosh, the pendulum swings either way.
Right.
But God's intent is that prosperity is part of the gospel. Preaching the gospel to the poor is good news to the poor. As a poor, don't have to be poor no more. You know, that's part of the deal. Jesus paid so that we would not, I mean, he poured his blood out to deliver us once and for all, redeem us from poverty, sickness, and sin. Not just sin. And then not just sin and sickness. Poverty and sickness and sin.
Yes.
they were all involved. Those are all the areas that we fell. Mankind fell. Mankind, the species, not the gender. Mankind fell. And sin and the whole sin nature, the death nature that came in and took over, manifested as poverty, sickness, and sin. And this was one thing that the Lord has, he told me in these dreams, is one of the hardest things to get back to his children is the concept that he wants them to prosper. He is El Shaddai. He is more than enough. Poverty manifests in fear, and it manifests across the board, not just in your money. It's a harsh taskmaster, and it causes people to be afraid about everything. They shut down their bowels of compassion towards one another. It destroys relationships. It gets them into strife about everything. They withhold what they have to give. They won't minister to people. They stop ministering to, they don't witness to their, to the next door neighbor. They have just gotten to a place where they're afraid of everything.
Yeah.
It's poverty. It's the root of it is the spirit of poverty. It causes people to turn on each other. It makes them jealous. I don't want that guy. He got blessed. He doesn't deserve to be blessed. Who's he think he is? How come God won't bless me? It's warped. It's the opposite. See, perfect love casts out fear. And all of these things that the Lord was telling me in those dreams and visions about supernatural finances, and then later he segued into supernatural youth. He said that the only way that you could access any of these things is you have to walk in love. He told me, and I'm get this one here. I don't mean to dominate the conversation here, but I want to get this in here. He said that we were so close to the cusp. We are on the cusp. We are tapping into eternity. We are right on the edge. Like Jesus, when he walked on this planet in the flesh before he was crucified, the people that were walking with him in the earth, it was the cusp period. It was the overlap period between the old covenant and the beginning of the new. And the people who were walking at that time on this planet could walk in both, they could receive the benefits of both covenants at the same time. Even though Jesus had not died on the cross yet or been raised from the dead yet, he was allowing them, they could tap into the blessing of that which was coming.
Well, I see, yeah.
And in the same way, this generation that's on the planet now is in an overlap period and between earth years and eternity itself. And throw in their Jewish time when God's going to deal with the Jews again. Literally, Israel shall be saved. It says it in the Word. Revival is coming. It's massive. It's coming. It's on the horizon. It's already touching down. And an aside, Obama, he messed with the timetable of God in some of these areas. The end time transfer of wealth and things like that. He got a lot of people off track. But not only that, but our response to some of that has been off track. Our response to our president, we should have been praying for him. We should have been trusting God in spite of him.
Sure.
And not letting him shut down what God is trying to do. We let him shut it down by being in fear.
Well, right. And I mean, I know there was one, I know there was a lady I knew that she, when Obama was elected president, and she just about gave up her faith in God. She just said, I just can't do this. Why would God allow a liberal Democrat to be elected into the office of the presidency? Maybe there is no God. I just don't know. I think I'm done with this, you know. So that's the level of fear we're talking about here.
That kind of fear that doesn't think that God knows what he's doing. I mean, if you look through the Old Testament, God used foreigners. He used foreign kings a lot to bless his people, to help bring his people into where they should be. he used whoever he could use. And they don't, you know, even the coming up elections. I really want to urge people to pray and hear from God. Don't just judge by the outward appearance, man. Hear from God about who to vote for, because God wants to surprise. He never wants. He is not predictable. He doesn't want to be predictable.
Yeah.
And the moment that someone says, you know, like, Jesus is coming back, I have a revelation that he's going to be coming back. Someone put out a book in 1988 mm-hmm. or 87. 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
And boy, they made their little bundle of money. But
oh,
I knew,
did.
I guarantee you, at the moment someone tries to pin down when he's coming back, if he was going to, he will change the date to make sure that
funny.
They don't get the glory for it.
Yeah.
He won't let them be right.
Yeah, that never works still.
It doesn't
it's
work.
It's amazing how many people still try to do that,
yeah.
still try to predict when he's coming back. I don't get that, but okay.
Right, no
yeah,
man knows the
works.
Hour or the day. We're supposed to be aware of the seasons, but we're right now in the cusp, the overlap, and it's changing. We have the ability. God has given us the privilege of being able to tap into the blessings of this season, this covenant, the covenant and the culmination of all things. I wasn't really planning to go there today, but here I am. So
yeah.
he said that we could tap into it. We're so close. We can reach into eternity. And if you want to hear more about that, you can listen to number 5 podcast about Stick It In Your Ear.
Okay, you're right.
That he's superimposing the eternity over this realm. It's kind of like sneezing and driving at the same time.
Oh, really?
It's kind of hard to do, but not impossible.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
But he said, here's the stickler, and this is where people stumble. The only
yeah.
way to participate in the supernatural finances or supernatural youth is that we have to walk in love.
Mm, yep, that's the tricky part right there.
It is.
Well,
and
for
he
a lot
said,
of people.
And he even took the time to tell me this part I wrote down. Fake Christian love is religious and based on the flesh realm.
Yeah.
It's dishonest. It's phony. It's manipulative. What he called it. He called it fake Christian love. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not this phony stuff
no.
that just is all saccharine sweet. And what he said, it allows for sickness and death. Fake, phony love that they call Christian love. It is superficial.
Hmm.
It's totally based on the flesh, and it's usually making excuses for why God didn't answer prayers and gives people an out, and it's codependent and it's manipulative. And how many times can I use the word manipulative? It's controlling.
Yeah. Right.
And it's not the real deal.
Yeah.
But real love is based on, it's first of all based on the Holy Spirit. It's based on the Word of God. It's based on the fact that perfect love casts out fear.
Right.
It's not based on fear.
Right. That's tricky right there.
Yeah.
Fear.
And people get a revelation of that. Walking in love means that you're driving out the fear that has been trying to control your life. And fear is the root of this spirit of poverty.
Yeah, that's interesting. Lots of Christians trying to walk in love having a lot of fear.
Yes.
So that is, that's kind of a tell. That's a real big thing there, because perfect love casts out fear.
Right.
So you're seeing a lot of fear. So what's up with that?
Exactly. And all the conspiracy stuff going on, it's just so ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so full of fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what God is doing. That's God doesn't give those kind of revelations. And it's just not in a book, guys. It's not in the Word.
No.
He wants us to rise up. How can you be a mighty army of warriors on this planet, taking back the planet for Jesus, which is what we're here? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature.
Yep.
Don't go into all the world and tell them that these horrible things are going to happen. And I mean, that's not the gospel. That's not good news, guys.
Nope. Or go into a bunker, you know, out of fear. Become a doomsday prepper.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, afraid exactly. for the apocalypse or whatever is going on there. And I don't mean to offend our prepper audience. I'm sorry to do that. Anybody listening right now from their bunker, way to go. I don't mean to offend you. I'm just trying to make a point. That's all.
That's true. And you know what? The Lord even told me in one of those dreams that we would be a place of refuge to provide refuge for people during troubling times, because they are coming. Troubling times are coming, but we are to be blessed so we can be a blessing. You can't bless and care for and provide refuge for people if you're too broke to do anything.
Right.
We must prosper in order to take the gospel to the nations. We must prosper so that people don't go to hell.
Yeah, and some of that about being broke, you know, which is not biblical, but there was a lot of it that came from, well, you know, it's religion. Catholicism is what I'm trying to say.
They started doing,
you know, vows of not only silence, but vows of poverty. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
But, they decided that being broke is somehow spiritual, you know, and giving up. Yeah, it's virtue to give away world, you know, to not have worldly possessions. But as you mentioned before, the problem with that is you can't bless and, you know, you can't have influence. And the Lord wants you to have influence, and you can't if you have nothing. And so that idea comes from Catholicism, among other things, or I should say early Catholicism. I don't know.
It's been sown into the body of Christ for so long. A lie. It's one of the biggest lies that's been sown into the church world. And that's one of the places it came from. And it's interesting to me that, yeah, vows of poverty and a vow of silence are both anti what we're called to do in the earth. We are called to speak. We are called to decree and use authority in the name of Jesus. You can't do that by keeping silent.
Right.
Jesus spoke. You can't do, it's not, that's a false humility that says, oh, I'm just going to be quiet and just humble, sit in my corner and be poor. There is nothing spiritual and virtuous about that.
No.
In fact, it's pretty darn selfish, really, because it's disobedient to what the Word of God has called us to do. You can't, here's the thing, authority and prosperity go hand in hand. I'm talking about godly prosperity, so to say, godly authority too. Godly authority, godly prosperity go hand in hand. People are afraid of both of those because both of them have been abused, authority and prosperity. They've watched the abuse of those things.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So they don't, in an attempt to correct a situation, they've gone the other way. They don't want any authority.
Yeah.
They don't want any prosperity. They just be poor and have zero influence in the earth. And it's unscriptural.
Right.
We're supposed to be taken over. I mean, the Lord said, buy property. Own the earth. The meek will inherit the earth. Not the weak.
No.
The meek. You know what meek is? It's like the guy that, it's like, what's his name? Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Now, there's a meek man. He loves God. Mm-hmm. he could like kill someone with his bare hands if he chose to.
Okay, yeah.
He chooses not to.
Right.
He's a meek man. Mm-hmm. But if the situation needed, you know, called on for it,
yeah,
he could defend himself quite well.
Of course.
And anyone around him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a meek person. Mm-hmm. Who has the ability and the authority to kick butt.
Right.
But they choose not to unless, you know, the situation calls for it.
Right, right. But it's not a weak person.
That's right.
What you're saying.
He's not weak by any stretch. Mm-hmm.
So meek doesn't mean being weak.
Right.
It's just what you do with what you have.
Exactly.
Or how you control.
Very powerful. Jesus was meek. And he was willing to lay down what he could have. He literally didn't have to die on the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was obedient to the death of the cross. He was in there asking the Lord, could you please let this cup pass from me? He almost died there of a broken heart. He could barely take the pressure of the sin of the world. Right. Talk about a prophet that could feel what was going on in the atmosphere.
For sure.
Let alone the Son of God saying, you know, I'll do this, but it almost killed him before he ever got to the cross. If this cup could pass from me. But he was willing. He was willing to obey God because he saw the joy on the other side. He saw us. He saw what the Father had in mind, and he was willing to humble himself to that. So people that are willing to prosper or walk in godly authority have to be meek in that they're willing to obey the Lord with what he's given them and follow him into whatever for the joy that's set on the other side.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that's making, is this making sense?
Right.
At this point.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that counterfeit love is based on fear.
Oh, right.
And that's what that religious stuff is. It's false humility.
That's right. That was a deal. Yeah, love. Uh-huh.
And,
perfect love casts out fear.
Mm-hmm. And he said the answer for this generation is a war cry of no fear. No fear. I can't stress it enough. He talked to me about the heart cry of different generations down through, especially the last 100 years or so.
Yeah.
And how he answered it in the natural and in the spiritual realm as well.
Right.
And he's still answering the heart cry of every generation. And right now the heart cry of the boomers, for instance, is, I got waylaid. I'm getting old before my time. I'm not done yet, but I'm getting old. And actually, now it's not just the boomers. It's the next generation after that are starting to feel that way, too. I got messed over. This is not where I expected to be at this point in my life. And the Lord said, the heart cry of these generations has not fallen on deaf ears. He is answering the heart cry in the natural and in the spirit. All of a sudden, people are starting to live longer. Even there are being discoveries and things made of things that actually strengthen our physical bodies and cause people to live longer. They're literally living longer than they have, you know, since the Dark Ages, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Just going up.
Yeah. And it's happening in the natural and it's happening in the spiritual realm. There's an anointing for supernatural youth that we can tap into and literally live longer. And the same thing with the money, supernatural finances. In order for the Lord to be able to keep covenant promises to this generation, those promises that we have even forgotten ourselves. And yet, he's willing to prosper us and keep us on this planet as long as it takes to keep his word to those that will lay hold of it. Fear is the absolute anti- everything your heart desires.
Got it. Yeah.
And it shuts down prosperity. It shuts down the heart's desire. Fear. And, yeah, if the Lord tells you to prepare to take care of other people for the days ahead, you should do that. But don't do it out of fear. Do it out of obedience. But also recognize that he can turn these stones into bread if he wants. You know, he doesn't have to have all the tons of stuff put aside.
Right.
This is going a completely different direction than I expected.
It is. But hey, that's usual, so.
Yeah.
That's the way it happens around here.
It really does. He made the segue, though. I want to point this out. Oh, you look like you have a point there.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
What was your point? Go ahead.
right in the middle of when he was talking to me about finances at first, and he showed me a mansion and all kinds of things, and I know they have spiritual meaning, but he was saying it has to do with seeing into the spirit and how it's our job, my job, Mike and me, this ministry, it's our job to help the people prosper, to help people lay hold of what's rightfully theirs and the devil stole, and all the different ways that he stole it from them. Everything yeah. from, you know, teaching them, people just don't even believe that. It's like the world training people that the moment they get any money, it goes right back out. You don't get to keep it. It always goes right back out.
Uh-huh.
Like, whew, I barely got to pay that bill. No, God wants not only your bills paid, he wants you supernaturally out of debt. He wants you supernaturally prospering so that you can send. In fact, he said this. Mm-hmm. Take any person, a normal person. Mm-hmm. I'm me and my air quotes.
Yeah.
Take any normal person outside of a church setting and ask them how they really feel about finances.
Uh-huh.
If they're honest, they're going to say, I'm talking about normal people now.
Yeah.
They'll say, I just want to have enough money to take care of my family and do the things that God's called me to do, to do the things that are in my heart. I want to be able to take my family out for dinner now and then. I want to take them on vacation. I want to be able to bless my children. I want to be able to put money in savings for the future. I want to be able yeah. to give to support the gospel being preached around the world. People long to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
God put that in you.
Sure.
And then I want to have a decent place to live. I want to, you know, drive a decent car so it's not breaking down.
Right.
You know, all those things are normal. There's nothing unspiritual about that. I mean, nothing covetous about that. Mm-mm. There's nothing ungodly about that. You're supposed to.
Yeah.
May the Lord increase you more and more. That was a blessing in the Old Testament. That's
for sure
the way it's supposed to work. And but this false humility and spirit of poverty has caused yes. people to be afraid to even acknowledge that they just want that, like, and don't even think about being rich. And so even when they do get money, they just are like poor people with money because they don't know what to do with it. Never been trained, never studied. I mean, some have, but so many people just, they wouldn't know what to do with money if they had it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them just, you know, mow through that money. Oh, could break your heart. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to make it work for them. They don't, you know, they don't know how to give,
mm-hmm.
which is the ultimate investment. If you want to have a supernatural flow of finances that just doesn't stop, then
yeah.
learn how to invest into the kingdom.
Uh-huh.
And that's not just, I'm not talking about just tithing. I'm talking about supernaturally investing into anointings. Whatever anointing you want in your life, start investing your money there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, you know, say, well, I don't have any money to sow, well, then something's amiss, because the word says that God gives seed to the sower, so, and bread for eating.
Yes.
So if you're getting it mixed up and you're just eating all your seed, then you are not a sower. God gives seed to the sower. So if, you know, if you've gotten off track on that and say, well, at least I tithe, you know. This is supposed to be more than law.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just law. Anyone can keep a law. What happened to obedience? Are you willing to give up your lattes for a week and give into a ministry and sow? Because that's what breaks. That's what breaks the devil's hold on people's money.
Yeah.
Is sowing, and I mean, that's warfare,
right?
And that was the difference between the recession in the 70s and then the one that began in 2008.
Yeah,
the people in the 70s were not afraid to continue sowing and giving,
really. Yeah,
but in 2008, oh man, there's so much to say.
Yeah, so that was different. I mean, I don't remember the 70s one.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were born in the midst of that.
Yeah, so they were, it wasn't the same is what you're saying.
The Lord told me in one of those dreams that he said that recession was coming.
Mm-hmm.
It was like around 2002. I looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Then he told me that. He said recession is coming.
Yeah.
He also said restoration is coming. But people have a choice to make. Do they want revelation or do they want religion? Because revelation, which is based, you know, the word of God is revelation, of God's heart.
Uh-huh.
But also the revelation of this season. Revelation, if they choose that, instead of religion, which is safe, they think.
Yeah.
Good old safe religion. And when I say religion, I'm talking about the spirit of religion that keeps people in bondage. In case someone's not quite sure what I mean by religion.
Yeah.
There's so many people that act like they're, you know, oh, I've got this fresh revelation, and they think they're prophetic, and they are. But if they can't receive the revelation about finances,
uh-huh.
Man, we watch so many people go running in back to their safe religion in 2008.
Yeah.
Fear, man. All of a sudden, they were afraid. And in the midst of it, this is what poverty does. It causes uh-huh. you to withdraw and isolate. They stopped going to church. They stopped caring about encouraging anyone else.
Uh-huh.
They stopped giving. I'm not saying everyone, but the ones that did this,
yeah. uh-huh.
they just shut down. It shuts down their heart. It shuts down their bowels of compassion, the spirit of poverty.
Yeah.
And that was the difference between that, the recession of the 70s and yeah. the recession in 2008.
Really?
There were like, I don't know how many churches actually shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Because their people just either stopped coming, stopped giving. They stopped being doers of the word.
Mm-hmm.
They suddenly threw away their covenant with God.
Yeah.
And tithing is a covenant thing.
Yeah, and it all comes back to fear, like we were talking
Absolutely.
About before. Because it's the reason why they stopped was because of fear.
Fear.
That's what it was.
Terrorism had been sown into America. And
yeah.
9/11 was a biggie in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And terrorism, the spirit of fear that was sown into our country, all of a sudden people just went nuts with conspiracy stuff. And just, I mean, it tried to destroy us from within by making people afraid. They were afraid to believe God anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They were afraid. And so they responded completely differently when recession hit than before when they were not afraid.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And, man, talk about shooting yourself in the foot. But those that stood and chose, I mean, it's like the line was drawn in this sand. Do you
yeah.
believe the word? Do you believe God still?
Mm-hmm.
Are you still a doer of the word? Because if you're not a doer, if you say you believe but you're not doing it, then the word says that you're self-deceived. It's like the man that looks in the mirror and then turns around and walks off and immediately forgets what manner of man he is.
Okay.
Forgets what he sees. The
yeah.
mirror is your reflection of what God has created you in Christ. It's the mirror of who you are and all he's given you. If you forget it and don't do it, if you're not a doer of the word, you're deceiving yourself into thinking you're still serving God.
Yeah.
When and it's a heartbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it, really, mm-hmm. to see how many people or which people
mm-hmm.
basically just threw away their faith in the Lord when recession hit.
Mm-hmm.
And just stopped becoming doers of the word. They stopped mm-hmm. doing what they knew was the godly thing, their covenant thing.
Yeah.
And started embracing the fear.
Yeah.
And fear, poverty is a harsh taskmaster. It destroyed relationships. Their relationships were just going down the toilet, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because of a spirit of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Another way of calling it is containment. All of a sudden, they're
yeah.
just boxed themselves into a world that has, I mean, before, when you're walking in love, the sky's the limit. There is no limit. Love is right. limitless. It never mm-hmm. fails. It right. can't fail. God is love. You know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When you get out of love, you have just put yourself in a prison. And that's what they've been doing. So many people. I want to break them out of prison. Hey, guys, this is a spiritual prison break. Get out of that spirit of fear and poverty. But it's a spirit that must be broken. It has to be exposed so we can see it. It's yeah. a sneaky demon.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, the
Yeah, well, it disguises as wisdom sometimes.
Oh, you yeah.
know? So that you're like thinking, well, I can't do this or that. That's not wise. It's in... And so I'm operating in wisdom, but it's actually man. Fear. So it's fear masquerading as wisdom.
Boy, that's
you
a word.
You can tell yourself, you know, that you're doing the right thing because it's in wisdom. But that's, you know, it all just comes back around to fear. Love versus fear.
Exactly.
We've been talking about here.
Yes. Love versus fear. The Lord says no fear. And yeah, I lost. I hardly slept at all last week before that terrorist attack.
Oh, yeah.
And Thursday night, the night before, which is, I guess, here in Las Vegas, we are 9 hours behind
mm-hmm.
Paris.
Sure.
And so I'm not sure that it was already in rolling. It was already, they had, as far as the last time I looked, they had seven separate bombings and explosions, et cetera, attacks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. In Paris on yeah. Friday the 13th.
Yep.
The night before, I was awake all night, just so deeply grieved in spirit. I had been awake all week and a week all awake too. I've been awake all week. I just couldn't sleep. I'd cried and cried. And then that night, I mean, Mike can attest, I was on the floor. I ended up on the floor
yeah.
just crying like a baby from my gut at 6 in the morning for I don't know how long. I knew it was a travail. I couldn't understand why. And it just overcame me. I could hear voices in the atmosphere, and I could feel so much pain and outcry, and all I could do was just cry from my gut. It's a form of intercession, actually.
Yeah.
The Bible calls it travailing.
Uh-huh.
It's in Romans. Anyone wants to look that up? With groanings that cannot be uttered. I also prayed in tongues, but it got to the point where I was just sobbing like a baby. I was on the floor. And then I finally was able to crawl into bed. I still couldn't sleep. Could not sleep. Exactly like 9/11, that happened to me. I finally went to sleep at 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
About the time it started. Because we were on the West Coast. 3 hours difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it makes me want to cry right now thinking about it. I can hardly talk about it without... And the thing is that I still feel it is the thing. It's not over. And
okay.
I felt bad that I didn't sound the alarm because I didn't want to be just another voice of fear out there. And people have been so pummeled with fear that I held back and didn't say what I should have said. And that is, people pray because something's up, something's coming, and we've got to pray. We've got to pray in faith, not fear.
Yeah.
And we had a prayer meeting that week before that kind of got hijacked. And I'm not going to talk about that anymore. But we did not get to intercede the way we had planned to pray.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Uh-huh.
And this is serious business. It's not just like a competition to see who's more spiritual. There's so much responsibility that goes with mm-hmm. hearing from God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's I cried. Anyway, we still need to be in prayer about it, but the battle cry is no fear.
Yes.
God has given us, as his children, through the name of Jesus, we have the authority to stop this stuff. And as we were praying Sunday in our service, that anybody that's coming into this country, and I'm talking about the United States,
yeah,
or any country, uh-huh, you can agree with me wherever you live.
Uh-huh.
This, anyone that's sneaking into our country that's part of a terrorist plot to destroy, to act out a terrorist act. Help me talk here.
Yeah.
I'm running out of words here.
Yeah.
I decree their salvation. They're going to accept the Lord. The Lord is going to give them a road to Damascus experience before they can carry it out. We decree that the enemy's plans are brought to nothing. He cannot do it to us again. He can't do it to America. America has a destiny and a future. And there are more than 10 righteous people in this country. And the Lord won't allow it. Well, we've got to stand up in His name and not allow it. And in the Spirit, I'm talking about in the Spirit, not by politics, mm-hmm, but in the Spirit. You take care of it in the Spirit and it'll work out in the politics. Take care of it at the root and it'll manifest in the natural.
Yeah.
So,
that's right.
I just decree that every terrorist that's come sneaking into this country with a plan and a smirk on his face is going to end up on his face kneeling before the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to have an encounter with the Lord, period. They are not going to do it to us again, or to France, or to Israel. I mean, you're ticking off this little prophet here. Don't tick me off, Clark.
Yep.
Take it for a minute,
yep,
here.
You've got it. Well, basically, that's a good place. We'll just leave it right there. We're running out of time. That's a great place to end it. We just created a full circle and just ended up talking about France again and with that powerful decree. So I just want to thank everybody for listening. And again, just real quick, go to the website, wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Click through that.
Yeah.
If you have a question, go ahead and write to us at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com or check out www.wordoflifeoutreach.org. The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.